we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome to Redemption Church. Hello to all our online viewers. We have more social medias than I can even keep up with. Is MySpace? No, not MySpace. It's something Friendster, something like that. Facebook Live, hello, how are you? Podcast, hi, everybody. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's coming. Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I serve here as lead pastor. We're in the second week of our sermon series. What is it entitled? It's entitled Carols, all right? We're talking about famous carols, Carol Burnett, all your favorite carols. No, we're talking about Christmas carols. We talked about last week that this is such a complicated time of the year. There are actually a lot of great things about this time of the year, but there are some things that are absolute downers. The materialism, the greed, the loneliness, the depression, the up in suicides, all those things. It's terrible. But one of the more amazing features of this time of year is the music. Everywhere you go, you hear music that is proclaiming Christ has come, that Messiah has come. They even use words like Christ has put on flesh, the word of the Father now in flesh appearing. These are amazing lyrics, and everywhere you go, somebody is proclaiming that. That is pretty cool. Last week, you let us know what your favorite Christmas carols were. Some of them were really good. Some of them were very suspect, I got to tell you, but I won't out anybody. It's all anonymous, all right? Well, we had an amazing mixture of responses, but more than one of you mentioned this song that we're going to talk about today, O Come All Ye Faithful. And I think that's an excellent choice. This Christmas carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, was originally written in Latin, right? We're so Americanized, we can't even imagine that. But it was written in Latin by John Francis Wade in the 1700s. It's an old song, y'all. It's an old song. The English translation we sing today is also old. It's by Frederick Oakley and William Brooke in 1841. This song has been around. You are not the first person to sing this song. You're not the first person to sing the words to this song and receive hope for it. It's been around for a long time. Can you tell me real quick, what is the first line of this song? O come, all ye faithful. Joy. It's not a trick question. We can all say it together, right? O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Y'all are like, oh man, he's going to trick us up, and the answer was actually Jesus. No, it's O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. You knew that. You're just not being brave. So be a little braver, all right? I've sung this song for as long as I can remember, but I never really stopped to consider the first words of this song. As I was sitting down thinking about this song this week, it really puzzled me some things about this first line. It's an invitation to come. But who is invited to come? O come all ye faithful? Wait a second. Have I always been faithful? Have you always been faithful? Maybe this invitation's not for us. Let's think about that for a second. I haven't always had faith, have I? There were times where I didn't have faith that God's word was true. There was absolute times in that. Sometimes I still hit the word of God and I'm like, oh, I know it's true, but my gosh, I don't wanna. It's difficult. The word of God is tough like that. My faith sometimes has wavered, right? I wasn't always faith-filled. There were some times I was like, I don't know, is there really a God? And is that God really found in Jesus? Is this really true and legit? And this song invites the faithful, but I have not always been faith-filled. Raise your hand if you relate. You've not always been faith-filled. There was a day you were not faith-filled. And then even when I did have a professing, saving faith in Jesus Christ, there were, and if I'm completely honest, still are times where I wrestle with some kind of doubt. Is that okay for you Don't grab your stuff and leave just yet. All right, but you know, sometimes you wrestle with doubt. Thomas wrestled with the doubt that Jesus Christ really had raised from the dead. People wrestle with this doubt if it's true or not. There are times where I have more faith than other times. There are times where it's like falling off a log, easy for me to believe. But there are times where I'm like, well, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know that story in the Bible? Right. I have not always been faithful to God. I haven't shown that steadfast love and allegiance to Him. I was talking with somebody that knows me very well this week, and I actually said that sentence to them. I said, I haven't always been faithful to God. And that person said, oh, yes, you have. And I'm like, No, I have not. That's not true. That's not. What they meant by that, well, you never went off and did crazy things and got lost in a drug life. And that's not, no, that is a low bar if we consider not falling to that low depth a staying faithful. No, I'm telling you that I got angry at my brother and I didn't want to forgive him. That was not being faithful. That I didn't want to pull the dollar out of my pocket that the Lord wanted me to. That was not faithful. That I read something in the Word of God and said, well, we'll revisit that. That was not faithful. There were times where I was supposed to worship him or tell someone else about him, but I did not. That was not faithful. There were times where I said, no, I will not pray. I'm going to watch Netflix. That is not faithful. Can we all be honest for a second? We have not always been faithful. Is that okay if we can admit that about ourselves and be honest? Is that an okay word for us to be today? Honest. There are times when I am not faithful to His Word, and it's inviting, oh, come, all ye faithful. Maybe, well, am I still invited to come? Well, moving on. What is the next thing? It says, oh, come all ye faithful. What's that next word?
Joyful.
Oh, man. You can already tell where this is going, right? Oh, come all ye joyful. I haven't always been joyful. Have you always been joyful? Maybe this invitation isn't for us. I'm ruining your favorite Christmas song. Just stick with me, please, dude. There are days where we experience sadness. Can I tell you, Christians still experience grief. They still experience sadness. To be a Christian does not mean every time you're asked, how are you doing today, you have that, I am blessed and highly favored, with a fake face. That, don't do that. Don't do that. Christians cry. Christians have sorrow. Christians have sadness. Christians have to go to funerals just like you do, and it is very sad. Christians have worries. Christians have things that bother them that they wrestle with and they don't understand. There are days where we experience far less than joy. Most of us go through seasons of depression. That's true. I've been in my life in times where I felt like a kind of depression coming on to me. And I said, oh, I got to shake that off, do something, get off thinking about my problems, stop that and move forward to something else. Is that okay to say in the house? And then there are some people that most of the time their life is filled with depression, and they are actually having to look at drugs. They're having to look at medication. Some of us lost loved ones during the Christmas season. And every time this December rolls around, everybody's like, oh, I'm so excited about Christmas. And you're like, I remember I lost my mom. I remember I lost my uncle. There's an empty chair when we gather for Christmas, and it hits me every time how I wish my wife was there, how I wish my child was there. That is extremely sad. That is extremely painful. And don't you dare gloss over it like, oh, just suck it up, buttercup. It's okay. We're reminded of loss. And we cry. Oh, come all ye joyful. Am I still invited to come? What's the next word? Come all ye faithful, joyful, and come on, help me a little bit. Triumphant. Do we always win?
No.
Do we always win? No. Can I be honest for a moment? Don't you just feel like a loser sometimes?
Oh, no, that's not faith speaking.
No, I feel like, gosh, at this point in my life, I ought to have things a little bit better than I do. I ought to know how to not lose my temper with my children. I ought to know how to... Sometimes I just feel like a loser. You're not alone in that. You're not alone in that. Maybe this invitation isn't for us. There is so much failure in me, I think, often. We set out to do things and we fail, right? I am going to lose weight and get into shape. Can I tell you that I have more failures in that area than I do have victories, right? Who's on team loser with me, all right? Yay, all right. You're not alone. We struggle, joyful and triumphant. Oh my goodness. I'm going to be a better parent. I'm going to show nothing but love and patience to my... For the third time, put that down. Like I set out, I'm going to be a better parent. And then that lasts about 10 seconds sometimes. And I'm just out of my mind. And I'm like, Sarah, you keep the children. Right? It's true. I'm not triumphant as a parent sometimes. There's many times where I've fallen way short of that triumphant championship world-class parenting trophy that I bought for myself on eBay. Can I tell you something? I love being your pastor. I love this church. I love doing ministry. I love sharing the word of God with you. I love worshiping with you. But there are times I beat myself up over this church. You have no idea. Why haven't we seen more people come to know Jesus? That eats me alive. Why haven't we seen more people baptized? I'm so thankful for everybody that's come to know Jesus and been baptized. But why aren't there more? Why is that chair still empty? Why haven't there been more people filled with His Spirit? Why did those people leave? Why didn't this ministry effort flourish? Why are we having this problem? Why didn't anybody respond to that sermon? Why doesn't this congregation go further in worship? Why doesn't this congregation go further in prayer? What are we doing wrong? It just all points back to me, and it's just beat up. Oh, come all ye triumphant. Am I still invited? Well, who is invited? Well, this song says the faithful are invited, the joyful are invited, and the triumphant are invited. But let me ask you this way. Who does Jesus invite? Who does Jesus invite? You know who Jesus calls? He calls the weary and the burdened. That's what he does. Look at Matthew 11:28. He says this. Here's his invitation. Got that verse up there? Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All right. Jesus is going to give them what?
Rest.
Let me tell you, he is not calling restful people that don't need his rest. You hear me? He is calling weary people that are breaking down. They're barely holding on. And that's who he's going to give rest. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. Those that are sick, and those are the ones that he will heal. The ones that say they have no need of a physician, they don't have much use for him. You see where I'm going with this? Jesus' invitation are to those that are weary and to those that are burdened. Raise your hand if that's you. You're invited. Look at somebody, say, you're invited. Oh, come, all ye weary and burdened. Jesus invites the weary and the burden, and he gives them something. He's got a gift for them. It is rest. How about this one? You ought to know this, that Jesus calls sinners. Matthew 9:13. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Those that stood around and thumped their chests and said, I'm righteous and holy. I keep all the law of Moses. They didn't have much use for him. But the people that knew they fell short of the law of God, that fell short of the glory of God, all those people ran to him and he gave them his righteousness. He's called sinners. He's called those that no one else would have ever invited. Jesus calls sinners to come. Jesus calls you But get this. He calls you but doesn't leave you in the state that you were in when he called you. Jesus calls you, but he will not leave you in the state that you're in. You see, he loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. If you're hungry, I won't let my children stay hungry. My children are filthy. Eventually, I will make sure their mom gives them a bath. I will do something to make sure that they don't stay that way. If you love someone or something, you will not let it meet ruin. And Jesus finds us in the state that we are in, and he accepts us as we are, but he does not allow us to stay the way we are. Do you understand this about him? If so, say amen, please. Amen. When you come to Jesus, you become something brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Jesus calls the weak and burdened. Jesus calls sinners. Jesus calls us, and he calls us into a brand new life. He calls us to be an absolute new creation, not just a little newer, not just a little cleaner, not just turned over a new light leaf. He calls you to be a completely new person from the inside to the outside. He wants to change every cell of you. He wants to change you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, so much that you are born again as a brand new person. I would tell you that you cannot come to Jesus and stay the same. If you are the same, then I'm really questioning where you are with Jesus, because he's called the weary and the broken, but he gives them something brand new. He calls the sinner, but he gives them something brand new, a brand new identity, a brand new way of thinking, a brand new life, a brand new heart. He gives you brand new things. Has anybody ever received brand new things from Jesus Christ? Yeah. Anybody excited about that? You can be excited about that. My goodness, if I said everybody in here is getting an iPhone X, some of y'all would lose your minds, right? What Jesus has given you is so much better than an iPhone X. And every Android user said, amen. All right. He makes us brand new. A brand new what? What does Jesus help us become? Well, Jesus helps us become faithful. He helps us become faithful. Hebrews 12 and 2. Fixing our eyes on who? Jesus. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's the one that pioneers it and he perfects it. What does he pioneer and perfect? Our faith. Can you be faithful without Jesus? No. You cannot be faithful without Jesus. Faith actually starts with Jesus. If you think you are faithful but have not laid your eyes on Jesus, you're just religious. You're not faithful. Jesus brings us faithfulness. He is the pioneer, and faith is perfected only in Jesus Christ. He is the perfecter. Real quick, have you been trying to perfect your faith without Jesus? Let me see. I've got to follow all these rules, and I've got to, let's see, how do they clap their hands? I want to make sure I clap my hands the right way and lift my hands and dress the right way and hold my Bible the correct way and do all these things. Oh, and make sure I'm on time for church, because that will perfect. No, sir, that will not perfect your faith. Looking into Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, that will perfect your faith. You can perfect your faith today by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Romans 10 and 17 tells us this. Consequently, faith comes from what? Hearing. Hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about who? Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and not just hearing anything, but hearing the message about Christ. Can you have faith without hearing the message about Christ today? Can I tell you, this is not bragging on your preacher here. This is just telling you the truth of the Word of God. Some of the most important moments of your week are when you hear the Word of God preached about Jesus Christ. Not because, oh man, that was a great sermon. No, it's because it's the Word of God and it builds up faith in you. It births faith in you. It comes through the message that you hear about Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
Oh, come all ye faithful. You can't do it without Jesus. You can't do it without the Word of God. Hearing about Jesus, knowing Jesus personally, will make you faithful. Jude 1:20, I love this verse, tells us that praying in the power of Jesus, that is the Holy Spirit, will build up our faith. Did you know that? That when you are praying, when you are talking to Jesus through the power of His Spirit, that it builds up a most holy faith, it says. That's powerful. You want faithfulness in your life? I suggest you get a hold of that kind of prayer life. Come all ye faithful. Can I tell you? Jesus makes you a new creation. He makes you faithful. Yes, you're invited to come. When you come, that's when you become faithful. Jesus also helps us be joyful. Galatians 5:22. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? It is love and it is
joy.
Somebody at least act a little awake and say joy. That is so much better. I like it. Jesus brings joy. His Spirit brings joy. Even though we have never seen Him. Raise your hands if you have never seen the Lord. We're all in agreement. None of us have actually seen Him. 1 Peter 1:8 says this. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious, somebody say it, joy. Wow. Through something you haven't even seen. We have not even seen Him yet. But we love Him and we believe in Him. And because we do, we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Do you have that joy? I got to ask you today, do you have that joy? You need to have that kind of joy in your life. You ought to worship Him with joy. You ought to hear the Word of God and you just know, man, that's true. You at least ought to be happy and joyful that the Word of God's being preached. Even if you don't like how it's delivered. You need to have this inexpressible, glorious joy. I need to tell you very quickly that there is a difference between happiness and joy. Let me help you real quick. I've heard it said like this. Happiness depends on happenings. Say that with me. Happiness depends on happenings. This thing happened and it made me happy. So as long as that good thing happens, you're happy. You following me? I think you're following me. Here's what joy depends on. Joy depends on Jesus.
Amen.
And as long as Jesus is, you got joy. And so you
got
a joy that the world can't give and the world can't take it away, they used to sing in the old church.
Amen.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away because my joy is not a happening. My joy is Jesus. And are you seeking happiness or are you grabbing hold to the joy that you ought to already have? So many people in this season are looking for happenings. They're looking for that moment that's like what they saw in a movie. They're looking for that one moment where the snow is just falling just right and they look into someone's eyes and they feel that happiness. Let me tell you, happiness comes and it goes, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got a joy that should last always. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy depends on Jesus. I want you to say it. I want you to learn this with me. Happiness depends on happenings.
Joy
depends on Jesus. Happiness comes and goes, and depending all on what's happening. But when you have Jesus, you have joy no matter what is happening. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Wait a second. Do you know what was happening? Do you know what was happening? Because Rome was happening. Bloodshed was happening. Babies were being killed. That's what was happening. People were being enslaved by a barbarous nation. That's what was happening. You know what else was happening? God had been silent for 400 years. They haven't had a prophet. No word of God was being preached. You know what was happening? People were dying without ever knowing God. People were dying and the Messiah had never come. And it looked like he was never going to come. This is what was happening. But regardless of what was happening, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Even though all that stuff continued to happen for many years, Messiah came, Jesus came, and that's what causes great joy. The next verse, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one. He is the Lord. Oh, come all ye joyful. Jesus makes you a new creation. And he brings joy. He births joy into you. And so yes, oh come all ye joyful, you're invited. You're invited. Jesus also helps us to be triumphant. Oh, you're tracking with me now. All right, he helps you be faithful. He helps you be joyful. And yes, he helps you to be triumphant. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. How are you going to win? How are you going to win, Jesus? How are you going to succeed, Jesus? How are you going to be triumphant? It's Jesus. How are you going to win the battle? How are you going to fight the battle? It better be Jesus. So come all ye triumphant. Jesus causes us to be triumphant. Can I tell you, you are not a loser regardless of what you feel. You are a winner in Jesus Christ. One day, he is going to put a crown on your head. You are not a victim. You are a victor through Jesus Christ. You are victorious in all things. You're not downtrodden. You are more than an overcomer. You are more than a conqueror. Through whose love? Through the love of Jesus. Can you be happy about that? Can you put on a smile? Can you be happy about that? You believe that's the truth? I believe it. I wish it would wake you up and get you out of your funk, get you out of your sadness, because that's the truth. You are a conqueror through him. Let me tell you, there are these stupid things that happen in life. I get the job and now I'm joyful. But before I got the call, I'm like, oh, right? That's how we are, right? Let me tell you, where was Jesus in this? Was he on this side of the phone call?
Nope. He's on both.
Oh, he's on both, right? He's on this side of the phone call. He's also on this side of the phone call. That even before the phone call happens, you can live in joy. Even before the phone call comes, you can be triumphant. Even before the phone call comes, you can be faithful. Why? Not because it's based on a happening, but it's because it's based on Jesus Christ. We don't come because we are faithful. We don't come because we are joyful. We don't come because we are triumphant. Here's what happens. We become faithful when we come to Jesus. Oh, come all ye faithful. When you come, that's when the faithfulness happens. You become joyful when you come to Jesus. That's when the joy happens. You become triumphant when? When you come to Jesus. Can I tell you, don't beat yourself up for what you are not. Instead of beating yourself up, come to Jesus and become a new creation. Have him do new things in your life. Have him create a new heart in you. Help him create a new mind in you. And stop focusing on all what's happening and have your life firmly planted in Jesus Christ. We're about to talk to Jesus in prayer. I want you to come today. I would like to challenge you to take a step from your seat, to take a step out of your time, out of your schedule, and actually talk to the Lord. Speak to Him. Call on Him. Ask Him to be right rock center in your life. I want you to come today. Why? Why do I want you to come today? Because you're invited. You're invited. He's invited you to come. You are invited not because you are worthy. You are invited because He is worthy. Amen. And when you come, He places His worthiness on you. We've got these wonderful parables. One of the most overlooked parables is this parable about a king who's throwing a banquet. And he just wants people to come. And he sends out people everywhere. Invite people. Invite them. Everybody's welcome. He even goes out to the highways and the byways where all the robbers are, where the low people were, where the people that were not thought of much in that culture. Go out there and invite them to my banquet. The king. Do you understand that this Christmas message really is that the King of Heaven has come to earth and invited you to come into His presence? Amen. That's what He's done. You're invited. You're invited to the manger. You're invited to His cross. You're invited into His presence. You're invited into heaven. You're invited by the King Himself. Let me tell you, if the King of the whole universe is inviting you, who can stop you? All right. Only you can stop you. So, let's go. You're invited. I'm invited. Let's go. And what should we do when we go? Let's adore Him. Oh, come. Let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Christ who saw me and didn't just judge me on what I was, but was willing to die for me, that was willing to embrace me, that was willing to bring out the best in me. He saw better in me than anyone else ever did, and He brought it out in me. Come adore Him today. Come be a new creation today. He will make you faithful. He will make you joyful. He will make you triumphant. Oh, come, let us adore the One who changes us. Now, is this just a nice little Christmas sermon, or are you going to meet some feet with this and come? Why don't you come today? Why don't you come today? If you want special prayer, if you want us to pray with you, if you got something in your life that's just bothering you, why don't you come and ask for special prayer? Here's how you ask. You just come into the first 2 feet, and we'd be glad to pray with you. We know that Jesus Christ is in the room. He's here with us, and He'll meet your need. I don't care what your need is. You don't have a need that's bigger than our God. He will heal you if you need healing. He will give you a job if you need a job. He will bring you joy. He will give you victory over any enemy. In the name of Jesus, why don't you come today? Lord, we love you, God. I ask you to speak to our hearts right now, Lord. I ask, Lord, that every eye would be focused on you, and that wherever we are in our walk with you, all of us would take a step closer to you today. If there's something in our life that we're struggling with right now, I want us to leave it at your altar, God. I want us to leave it at your feet, God. Lord, and I want us to receive from you the newness that you have for us, God. Make me a new creation. Make me a new person, God. Lord, I want to be born again. Lord, I want to be forgiven of all my sins. Lord, I want you to bring out faith in my life. I want joy in my life. I want victory in my life. I want purpose in my life. I want your Spirit in my life. I want your Word to come out of me. I want your Word to work in my life and to work in my family. Lord, I pray it all right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's really talk to the Lord in this place. We won't take all day, but you need to really talk to Him. Don't just go through the motions of this is a religious service during the month of December. Come on, let's really reach out to the Lord who loves us right now in this place. Come on, I want to pray with people. I want to see us.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.